The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. These approached Philip, who came from Bethsaida in Galilee, and put this request to him. Sir, we would like to see Jesus. Philip went to tell Andrew, and Andrew and Philip together went to tell Jesus. Jesus replied to them, Now the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you most solemnly, unless a wheat grain falls on the ground and dies, it remains only a single grain. But if it dies, it yields a rich harvest. Anyone who loves his life loses it. Anyone who hates his life in this world will keep it for the eternal life. If a man serves me, he must follow me. Wherever I am, my servant will be there too. If anyone serves me, my Father will honor him. Now is my soul troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But it was for this very reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. A voice came from heaven. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. People standing by who heard this said it was a clap of thunder. Others said it was an angel speaking to him. Jesus answered, It was not for my sake that this voice came, but for yours. Now sentence is being passed on this world. Now the prince of this world is to be overthrown. And when I am lifted up from the earth, I shall draw all men to myself. By these words, he indicated the kind of death he would die. The Gospel of the Lord. In our lives, we all have defining moments at some stage, moments that shape our lives from, as it were, that day on. Sometimes we may have had premonitions that such and such was going to happen, but a moment will come and life will not be the same thereafter. For some, that can be when you're at school, and I can remember at 14 when we had to choose our options for GCE, because it's all changed over the years, hasn't it? And I knew then exactly what I wanted to do because of where I wanted to go, and here I am 56 years later on still doing it. But it was one of those moments that you know, and your life will be changed thereafter. For others of you, it may have been falling in love, and the one you're sitting next to is, if you are the married couples, the one, and you changed life thereafter. But also during our lives, different things come along and we change gear, or it takes us off in a different direction. Well, St. John is in a way saying that's what happened in the particular gospel we've just heard. Some Greeks come, God-fearing people, but they were Gentiles, not Jews. And they want to see Jesus. And their coming in a way in his gospel marks the end of the public ministry of Jesus, which had been restricted to the Jewish people. John tells us no more about the Greeks. We just get Jesus's answer. The time of preparation is nearly over. His hour has come. His glory is about to be revealed. It's that shift, that great change. A glory that he knew could only be accomplished with severe suffering. And that's the new covenant that was spoken of by Jeremiah in our first reading. It's that God is at work. He will pursue sinners and forgive them, and people then once again can have a direct relationship with God, which is through Jesus. He will be glorified. And so for Jesus, it's almost as if everything is falling into place. The hour has come. Now, the hour isn't 60 minutes, 60 seconds, or whatever. It's a period of time, but it is the time for which he has come. In John's Gospel, on other occasions, when he's challenged to do something, like his mother at Cana of Galilee says, "Son, they have no wine," Jesus said, "Mine hour has not yet come." That wasn't the time. He did what he had to do, but that was not the hour that he was leading up to. That was just a sign pointing to where it was going to lead to. And so now he speaks that strange thing about a grain of wheat buried in the earth, and if it's buried, a rich harvest would grow. Because he's speaking about his death and being buried in the earth. And he says about anyone who loves his life here will lose it. But if you love the hate your life here in at one level, it's my always crossing ourselves out thing, then we keep it for the eternal life. And it's why it's so important, I remind you so often of it, this is the great truth, that when we come through those doors on our last journey, we're blessed with the water. And it's a reminder of that eternal life that begins when we're baptized into Christ's death and resurrection. That eternal life that goes on, it's not severed in death. And that's what he means. We keep it for the eternal life, and it goes on. But before it, when he speaks about the grain buried in the earth, then it's that time of pain and dying and suffering before it springs forth into new life. It's like the winter before the spring. And these lovely spring days makes you feel better because we're springing back to life. It's also a reminder, that grain of wheat, that the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. And we're seeing martyrs around the world today. I think it was last weekend or the weekend before. No, it was last weekend. Two or three churches were just blown up in various places in the world. And of course, there was a mosque in 100 and odd killed the other day. So there are martyrs going on. And in the church's history, wherever the martyrs are, that is like a seedbed for the church. But meanwhile, Jesus then goes on in this gospel to speak of his agony in his soul. And unlike the other evangelist, John doesn't write any account of the Garden of Gethsemane, the agony in the garden. But this is that moment. Now is my soul troubled. He's anxious. It's Jesus's, "Your will, Lord, be done." And that's the hard bit. It is for us every day, crossing our own will out and trying to do your will, Lord. And in the garden, secretly, and on the cross on high, there he is trying to inspire us to suffer and die with him, that dying daily to sin and rising daily to new life. In St. John's Gospel, he very clearly sees Jesus is fully in charge of the situation. "Now is my soul troubled. What shall I say, Father? Save me from this hour." No, this is why I've come. Jesus is in charge. And when we get the Passion on Good Friday at the liturgy, every Good Friday, you always have John's Passion. He absolutely is quite clear that it's Jesus that's in control of the situation. Pilate might think he is, the other people might think they are, but John is not doubtful at all that it is Jesus who's in charge of that. And that's why we get in our second reading today that remarkable statement about the humble submission of Jesus to the will of the Father. Although he was Son, he learnt to obey through suffering. Now, as followers of Jesus, we find ourselves in challenging situations daily, or life around in different ways challenging. So the people around us can be trying to pull us away from our faith. The political and moral decisions that are made by Parliament or the EU are often counterculture, which is what Pope John Paul was often saying we should be. We've got to be counterculture because they're doing things that are not in accord with Christian belief. The economic or human needs around the world are always a challenge, which is why we have Family Fast Day and those that go without. The sheer inequality across the globe, the terrorism, the violence, the war, the list can be endless. And when we get these situations, we look, what can we do? What can we do about this? And when we focus on what we're entitled to, or how we can get away with the minimum required of us, that's when we're self-obsessed and selfish. And that's the grain of wheat that won't go in the ground and die, but it'll just become a rotting husk in the heat of the day. The only path is that, as it were, burying ourselves, our crossing our own will out, and that self-giving the way that Jesus does. Do we protect our own rights, or privacy, or do we walk the way, dying to self, in generous service? That's why Newman put so much in that praise, the Holy Spirit, oh, generous love. God is so generous. Are we generous in return with generous service wherever it is? The great news is that being part of Jesus, we're part of his victory. He has won the victory over sin and death and evil and everything. And that's the whole point. At this time, we're concentrating on one aspect, which is the suffering and death, but the resurrection is there, and so is the ascension. And St. John sees all that as the glorification. When I'm lifted up on the cross, but lifted from the tomb, lifted at the ascension to the Father, is all part of the glorification. But most of all, he has won the victory over sin and death. Just before the assassin's bullet killed him, Archbishop Oscar Romero had said in his homily on the 24th of March 1980 these words: "To each one of us, Christ is saying, if you want your life and mission to be fruitful like mine, do as I say. Be converted into the seed that lets itself be buried. Don't be afraid. Those who shun suffering will remain alone. No one is more alone than the selfish. But if you give your life out of love, as I give mine, you'll reap a great harvest." As I understand it, after he'd preached that, it wasn't a Sunday, he went back to the chair, came back to the altar to prepare the altar, and was shot.